that Jim Horner had tested positive for COVID as well. So let's just remember him in prayer tonight. Those that aren't out of town and so forth tonight. Heavenly Father, we come to you, Lord, and we're asking, Lord, for you to touch Brother Jim, Sister Joyce, dear God, heal them from the COVID, Lord. And Father, we ask, God, that you would be with those, Lord, that are not able to be here tonight, dear God, that you know, Lord, their circumstances, Lord. I pray, dear God, that you bless them as they listen to this service later on, Father. We ask, God, that you be with us tonight and guide us through your word for your glory in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And we're going to read three verses of scripture here out of this seventh chapter of Corinthians, starting in verse 17. But as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called every one, so let him walk, and so ordained I in all the churches. Is any man called being circumcised, let him not become uncircumcised. Is any called uncircumcision in uncircumcision, let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing but the keeping of the commandments of God. Maybe see. Now, Paul here in this portion of the seventh chapter of Corinthians is dealing with circumcision. And Paul had to contend with the Jews concerning circumcision at different times because, you know, the way they looked on the Gentiles. And So this can be seen when Peter was given a vision by the Lord. If you remember, a great sheet had dropped down, and there was all manner of type of food that was on this four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things, fowls of the air and that were food that was let down on this great sheet from heaven. And Peter heard a voice said, rise and go eat. And of course, Peter being a Jew, he wouldn't eat anything that was considered unclean. And, you know, according to the law, there were certain things according to the law that the Jews weren't supposed to eat. And so when Peter looked and he saw in his vision this sheet and he saw on there things that weren't lawful for the Jews to eat, and he was being told to eat, he said, not so. I've no unclean thing has ever passed my lips. And then the voice of the Lord spoke to him and says, don't call unclean what I have cleaned. And he has this vision. It comes three times like that. And then after it comes three times, then the voice speaks and says, go down, because he was up on the roof, said, go down, there's three men coming, and I've sent them, and you're to go with them. And don't doubt anything, just go with them. And these men were sent from the house of Cornelius, who was a Gentile. And these were Gentile men that came to get Peter. And so here, Peter, a Jew, and you got to realize that even the disciples that had been with Jesus and those that had been in the upper room, those that had received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, up to this time, they had thought it was for the Jews only. And even though Peter spoke and said, as many as the Lord God shall call, but they really believe this Christianity was for the Jews. But now God was sending someone to the Gentile people. And so Peter goes with the men to Cornelius' house, and Cornelius tells him how an angel of the Lord appeared to him, excuse me, and told him to call for one Simon, whose surname was Peter, and to send for him to come, and that when he came, that he would preach to them, and that they and all of them would be saved. And so when Peter, Cornelius told Peter this, then Peter goes ahead and shares with them the gospel of Jesus Christ. And while Peter shared with them the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost falls on him. And Peter, seeing that the Holy Ghost fell on them, just like it had the Jews in the upper room, Peter says, well, if the Holy Ghost fallen on them too, let's not hinder them from being baptized. Let's go ahead and baptize them and accept them into the fold. And so they do. They baptize them. And Cornelius and the people there, they were saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. And then Peter travels back from there. And when Peter gets back, then his Jewish brethren, Christians, they begin to question him. Why was he down there with these uncircumcised people? And see, because the Jews had received a sign of circumcision passed down to them from Abraham, and it was passed down in the law, and that, you know, a male child was to be circumcised as a child, as a baby, an infant, and that it was, but, you know, so it was something they followed by the law. But now Peter had went down and associated and ate with men who were Gentiles, who were uncircumcised. And so he was questioned by the Jews about it. So Peter then unfolds to them the vision that happened, and how that these men were sent, and how that he went with them as the Lord had bid, and he tells them about how Cornelius has seen an angel, and the angel had said, send for men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. And Peter says, as I began to speak to them, the Holy Ghost fell on them as it had on us at the beginning. So here's Peter answering to these Jews who their old question was, you know, how could this happen to men that of the uncircumcision, a race of uncircumcision? Turn me to Romans chapter 3, and Peter answers that question. But then Paul is presented with this many times, because you realize Paul then was sent as a messenger to the Gentiles. Remember how when Paul said to the Jews, said, seeing you've judged yourselves unworthy, I now turn from you to the Gentiles. And so Paul's ministry was directed to the Gentiles. And Paul was questioned about this. And then there were those of the Jews then that would get amongst these Gentile believers and start telling them, you need to get circumcised. You need to be circumcised. And trying to get them to follow the law. And so Paul had to constantly deal with this. And so turn me to Romans chapter 3, and we'll read two verses of scriptures there, verse 29 and 30. And Paul says here in verse 29, he says, is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also, seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith. Now going down to Romans 4, the fourth chapter, and Paul continues on with teaching this about the circumcision and what it actually means now at this time since the coming of Christ. And since actually the coming of the Holy Ghost. And Paul says here in verse 1, of fourth chapter Romans, what shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How then was it reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. Now, what he's speaking of here is Abraham. You know, the Bible says Abraham believed God and it was imputed to him for righteousness. And then because Abraham believed God of the promise of a son coming, then God gave him a sign in the flesh of his faith. And that sign in the flesh he gave him was a sign of circumcision. And so he was it was reckoned for righteousness before he was ever circumcised. And verse 11, and he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had, yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that the righteousness might be imputed unto them also. And the father of circumcision to them that are not of the circumcision only, but also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. For the promise that he should be heir of the world was not to Abraham or his seed through the law, but through the faith, the righteousness of faith. So Paul is dealing with this, and Paul is pointing the Jews toward a time that God it's not just the Jews of the natural or seed of Abraham natural, but it's spiritual seed of Abraham. And the spiritual seed of Abraham is all those who believe. Because Abraham is the father of faith. Now, turn back and be to Romans chapter 2 and verse 25. Now, I don't know how long I'll be tonight. I won't be long. Probably really short, because I'm breaking this chapter up because there's so much to deal with, and it's easier for you to understand, for me to deal with one thing rather than me taking one service and dealing with five different things within this chapter. And then you just, you know, I deal with one thing and then I go on to another, and then you get lost. And or can. So that's why tonight I'm just dealing with these verses of the seventh chapter of Corinthians, where Paul deals with circumcision. Now look in Romans 2, verse 25. For circumcision verily profiteth if thou keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. So Paul is saying, just being circumcised in the flesh isn't enough. If you don't, if you don't keep the law of God, then you're just as good as being uncircumcised. And so he goes on, therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? Now, here he's talking about those of the Gentiles then who are the uncircumcision. It says, if they keep the righteousness of the law. Now, he doesn't mean the keeping of the law in as in the Jews did with the keeping of Sabbaths and the keeping of this and the keeping of that and the doing this and the doing that and the sacrifices and all these different things. That's not what he's talking about. What he's talking about is the law of God of righteousness. And he says, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? And shall not the uncircumcision, which is by nature, it is, if it fulfilled the law, judge thee who by the letter and circumcision does transgress the law? For he is not a Jew. Now listen to this. For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that of circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. Now, actually, he's saying Jew here, but what he's talking about is seed of Abraham. And circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men but of God. So remember when Stephen, in the book of Acts, when Stephen was going to be stoned, and Stephen's given witness of Jesus Christ, and you realize who he's given this witness to is the Jews, those who are of the circumcision and who believe Abraham and believe the law and keep the law. And yet when Stephen speaks to them, he says, you uncircumcised of heart and ears. And so Stephen didn't deal with the circumcision of the flesh with them. What Stephen was looking at was, you're not circumcised in your heart. In other words, the world hasn't been cut away from your heart. And so then circumcision, let's look at what Brother Branham has to say concerning what circumcision actually means to the believer today. He says, you believe. And then God had Abraham and his children, his seed, circumcised as a sign. He gives you the Holy Ghost today as a sign. What is the Holy Ghost today to a human being when it comes? It's to circumcise. Stephen said, oh, you uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do you. Is that right? And the Holy Ghost is circumcision. What circumcision do? It cuts off surplus flesh, all the things of the world. It circumcises you away from the things of the world, the love of the world, the love of the flesh, the pride of life, and it circumcises you from that. So a circumcision of the heart is the Holy Ghost cutting off the love of the world, cutting off the things of the world from out of your heart, from out of your life. It purges you where you have no desire of those things. Abraham says here in Israel, in the church, he said, God took Christ at Calvary and tore him apart, soul and body. He sent the body up to his right hand and sent the Holy Spirit back, the covenant with the people. And you believe by faith like Abraham did. And he was given the seal of circumcision for a confirmation of his faith. And you believe and accept Jesus as your Savior, then God gives you the baptism of the Holy Ghost as a confirmation of your faith. He said, if you say you believe and haven't received the Holy Spirit, something's wrong with your faith. God circumcises the heart the minute the believer really comes in full surrender. say, he said, when the believer firmly believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, God's under obligation to give him the Holy Ghost, a confirmation of his faith. He said, you say, what's the matter, Brother Branham? He says, just your faith, that's all. If you truly believe God, God's there to give it to you. While Peter spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them that heard the word. Now he's referring to when Peter went to Cornelius' house. Is that right? He says, now notice, the Holy Ghost and fire came from heaven and burnt out all the dross, circumcised the heart, cut off all the surplus, and become a new creature. When you become a new creature in Christ is when the Holy Ghost cuts off all those things of the flesh. And that's you being circumcised of heart. So what Paul dealt with many times was, and what he's looking at is, it's they were always pointing at the flesh, that and trying to point the Gentiles to the flesh, that they needed to be circumcised in the flesh. But Paul was pointing and saying, some of you that's been circumcised in the flesh haven't been circumcised of the heart. And he says, and in that case, then your circumcision of the flesh has no meaning with God, because he sent the Holy Ghost to come and circumcise your heart. In Israel, in the church, Brother Ram said, God gave Abraham the promise, and he believed the promise, and it was reckoned to him for righteousness. But he gave him a sign of circumcision as a seal of the promise. You believe God by faith that you're saved and accept him. And whenever you do, God gives you the Holy Ghost as a seal of the promise that he promised you. The Holy Ghost is a gift of God. The Holy Ghost is not something that you've got to do something to earn. All you do is believe. Have faith. You believe on God. And when you do, then God's going to come, because it's his promise, and going to give you the Holy Ghost as a sign, a seal of your faith. And he says, the Holy Ghost is a gift of God that circumcises the heart, cuts away the surplus flesh, and makes you a new creature in Christ. There's nothing you had to do in yourself. It's a gift of God. When you believe correctly, God gives it to you. Now, faith isn't what it is. Now, what he's talking about here is saying, faith is not the Holy Ghost. But the Holy Ghost is what's given as a seal of your faith. Now, he goes on to explain this and said, like if I had a quarter in my pocket, and a loaf of bread costs a quarter. The quarter's not the loaf of bread, but the quarter purchases the loaf of bread. And he said, faith is what you have in God. Now he's reckoning faith to being like the quarter that can buy the loaf of bread. And he says, faith is what you have in God. And that, in recognition of God for your faith, he gives you the Holy Ghost that circumcises the heart and ears and makes you a new creature. Now, the circumcision of the ears, Stephen deals with that as well, and Brother Branham is mentioning that here, the heart and the ears, you see, meaning that you can hear the voice of God. Then in Why Am I a Holy Roller, Brother Branham says, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed to him for righteousness. But Lord, you give him the seal of circumcision as a sign. When a man is truly believing, you seal him with the sign of the Holy Ghost. Grieve not the Holy Ghost, whereby you're sealed unto the day of your redemption. that, you know, some Ephesians 4 and 30, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you've been sealed until the day of your redemption. So the Holy Ghost that you receive, it's a seal. It circumcised your heart, and it's a seal, a sign, see, and that God has received you and has received your faith. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1 and 2. Paul says, for the law having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered. Now, what he's talking about, the sacrifices that from year to year they had for sin, their sacrifices for sin, that they would bring the bull and they would sacrifice this. And he speaks again in another place about the blood of bulls and goats, not being able to purge you from sin. But that the blood of Jesus Christ came to be a sacrifice once and for all to purge you. And therefore, having that sacrifice, there's no need for another sacrifice. But Paul says that these sacrifices of the law that were under the law, they were just a shadow of the things that were to come. Verse 2, for then would they not have ceased to have been offered, because that the worshiper once purged should have no more conscience of sins. So the law, in the law, they were to give circumcision in the flesh on the, I believe it's the eighth day. And every male child was to be circumcised. And it was following the law that had been given and brought down from Abraham that they followed this from Abraham. Remember when Jacob and his sons, they even remembered them about the circumcision and how that there was a man that came and took one of the daughters, and they that wasn't of Israel, and they wanted to take her for a wife, and so they had come and took one of the daughters, and so Jacob and his sons told them, said, well, if you want to take one of our daughters, then you must be circumcised like we're circumcised. And so they took and they had all the men of that nation to be circumcised. And while they were still sore from the circumcision, Jacob and his sons went through and slew every one of them. But see, this was something that was followed, and it was a sign that was given in the flesh to Abraham. But it was a shadow of what Paul's talking about. It was just a shadow of something that was to come. That it's not necessary to be circumcised of flesh as a Christian, but because that was a shadow, it was just a type that there was going to be a circumcision of the heart, a cutting away of the flesh. Brother Branham, in the midst of law or grace, Brother Branham says this. He says, Paul is trying to say to them that the old laws were a shadow of the new things to come. He said, if you go towards a wall against the light, you'll find out your shadow goes before you. If you were starting towards the setting of the sun, your shadow will be behind you. But notice, all the law having a shadow of things to come. See, it was just a shadow. Now, under the old dispensation, Paul was trying to say how they were circumcised, the males by flesh, was a type of the circumcision by heart of the Holy Spirit today, how that they kept the commandments back there, which were wrote on tablets of stone. In the days, God said, he would write them upon the fleshly tables of your heart. Remember that in Paul's writings, how he says that he wanted to write his laws in your heart, and meaning his word in your heart, to write his word in your heart. So God was there giving this type, and it was a shadow, but it was in the flesh because it was before the coming of the Holy Ghost to come and actually dwell in men. And that couldn't happen until after Jesus Christ came, and then God took him up into heaven and sent his spirit back upon the believers. Remember when Jesus said, told the disciples, go tarry in Jerusalem until you're endued with power from on high. And remember this. Remember, before Jesus' death, crucifixion and death, he was talking with Peter. And he told Peter, when you are converted. Now, our way of looking at it was that Peter had been following Jesus all along. He was converted. But Jesus said he wasn't converted yet, and said, when you are converted. And so then we find, what was it that Jesus was talking about when Peter would receive the Holy Ghost? And so, and see, then as Paul said here, what we read was the circumcision. It's not a circumcision of the flesh today, but it's a circumcision of the heart. And when you see people that want to say they're serving God but want to hold to the world, then they've never been circumcised of the heart. That hasn't been cut away from them. People say, oh, I've got the Holy Ghost, but yet they live and they dress and that unholy, and that they don't have it. Because when you've got it, it's a circumcision of the heart. It cuts away those worldly desires. It's just like, why do our sisters, you don't wear pants? Because you don't have a desire to. Yes, we can say, yes, the scripture says that it's an abomination in the eyes of God for a woman to wear a garment pertaining to a man. But you don't do that because you're following a law. See, there are many people who wear long dresses and wear long hair and all that, and they're doing it, and it's a thing of the flesh. It's not really a thing of the heart. They're keeping these things, and it's actually living in a legalism. They're doing these things because, well, you've got to do this, and you've got to do that, and you've got to do this, and you've got to do that. But see, when there's a circumcision of the heart, it's no longer, well, I have to do this or I won't be accepted by the church. But it's, this is how I do because this is what I desire. I don't desire those things of the world. So just, you know, just coming to church, giving your tithes, having long hair, wearing a dress, you know, dressing decent and all that, that's not the all of it. You can do a person can do all those things and even say they believe the message and say they're following the message. But if they haven't had a circumcision of the heart, and those things actually been cut away from them, then all they're doing is they're just living by a law. They're just keeping a law. But when you've been circumcised of the heart, you're not keeping the law. You don't come to church because you have to come or you'll be lost. You don't come because, well, if I don't come to church, you know, why then I'll displease the Lord. You know, of course, we don't want to displease the Lord. But the reason we come is because there's been a circumcision of the heart. It's because that is our desire, because we have received the Holy Ghost. And as I said last Thursday, we do it because we love him, not because it's a legalism, not because we're afraid of being lost. So just keeping, and you know, I've witnessed in my life many people that come to the message, and you know, and they'll throw this out and they'll throw that out, and then you know, they throw out the pants and all these different things, and they let their hair grow out and they let their dresses grow and all these things, and they seem to be one of the believers. But then you find that it's sometime later on that they leave all that behind and go right back out to the world. And the reason they do that is because they came in and began just living by laws. It was just do's and don'ts. It wasn't that they actually had the world actually cut off from them. They weren't actually cut off from the desires of the flesh. Now, you know, we live in this flesh. And as I've said many times, you know, we're not exempt from this flesh. This flesh has contact with this world. Our temptation many times is because of this flesh. That's what's tempted many times, is our flesh. And our flesh can be tempted. But a soul, a heart that's been circumcised by the Holy Ghost, friends, it cannot be tempted. You can be tempted in your flesh, but what stops you from doing it is that you've been circumcised in your heart. The person who hasn't been circumcised in their heart, why, when these temptations come or doubts come, then you'll find out that they'll go right back out the doors and go right back to the pig wallow they came out of. They'll go right back to the world and the things of the world. You know, it's like, you know, you raise your children, and you, when they're children, you teach them, you know, how to live right. And, of course, you teach your daughters, you know, about the wearing of dresses and so on, and their hair and all these different things, and you teach your sons not having long hair and all these things, and you teach them these things, but and then they do them because you're telling them to do that. But when they become of age, of accountability, then they've got to have a circumcision of the heart, because if they don't, then all they will look at is, I did this because mom and dad said do it. That's the only reason I went to church. That's the only reason I wore dresses. That's the only reason I had long hair. That's the only reason I'd done these other things. It's because I lived with mom and mom and dad made me do it. But when they have a circumcision of the heart, then it no longer has to do with what mom and dad said. Now it is that the Holy Ghost comes and cuts them off from those things of the flesh, and they're scoured out, and that desire is not there. Then it doesn't matter what the devil shakes at them. Nothing's going to pull them out. Nothing's going to make them turn their back. Nothing's going to make you turn around. Nothing's going to make you leave. Why? Because you have been circumcised of the heart from those things. Amen. Let's stand. Heavenly Father. scriptures, Father, in this little teaching tonight, little Bible study, Lord, teaching from your word. And Lord, as we look, Father, through this book of Corinthians, and Lord, just taking our time as you lead us, Father, covering these different things, Lord, there's a lot of doctrine that lays in here, a lot of sound doctrine. And Lord, we want to just take our time and cover these different things of doctrine that Paul is laying in here. We pray that you continue to lead us that way, dear God. I pray you'll bless your people, Father. Go with them, Lord. Many of them have to work tomorrow and so on. I pray you'll be with them and watch over them, God. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name.